This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Anthony Gerald, the Group Chief Executive of the business solutions firm Kuskapi Bhat. Anthony, thank you for talking to me. I guess, as with all interviews at this point in time, give us a situation report in terms of how the business is coping with coronavirus and the movement control order.
Well, the business has a huge impact. A lot of our existing customers and a lot of customers across Southeast Asia have a tremendous impact on the business. There's a huge impact in terms of their revenue. There's been a drop of revenue about 50% to about 35%. So this has created a huge impact to a lot of our operators. And I think this pandemic has also created a major concern in all the F&B, primarily because a lot of them have not themselves been prepared in terms of this crisis. So it is totally a huge business impact. It's a huge consumer behavioral perception change. And phenomenally, it's created a huge differentiator and it's created a huge crisis in the whole F&B market. As a company, we have been communicating and interacting with a lot of our customers, and most of our customers are continuously using the system that we have provided in terms of takeaway and in terms of delivery. And that has eased a little bit of pressure in terms of technology impact and revenue impact. So they are still able to service a lot of the customers. And I think the continuity of this business is mainly for the quick service. The table service restaurants are totally closed. They are unable to operate. So the ones that have been dependent solely on table service have totally been impacted. They've closed their restaurants. The employees are on leave, clearing annual leave. Some are on unpaid leave. But the ones that are having sustainability in the business is the quick service guys, the fast food people, the...
So where has the biggest impact been to the business? Is it through receivables not being collected from your clients? Is it that, you know, the movement control order has been hampering productivity? And specifically, which sector other than F&B as well has been affected? Because I presume you also serve other sectors like automotive and other industries.
So for us, we as a company, we have invested very highly on technology. So most of our people are working from the home. They have access to team meetings. They have access to the servers. They have access to their financial SAP system. So for us, it's as usual, work as usual. Everybody is working. The only people that have got a huge impact for us is in terms of finding new business users, because that is something that has not been happening now with the current situation. We certainly have a lot of issues in terms of collection. There's a lot of owings of our customers that have not been processed, so payments have been on hold. And certainly a lot of finance departments in our various companies that we serve are also affected. So we have some challenges in terms of collecting our cash flow, in terms of collecting our AR. But however, we have no other choice rather than to do our best in terms of this situation, because I guess the most important thing right now is health more than wealth. So to me, that is more critical at this point of time. Automotive, we see MITI lifting certain policies for the automotive industry. So a lot of our customers have started opening their service centers. Most of them have got some policies and governance on how they handle the car services. So certain industries are back to business. So automotive is back to business. In terms of our restaurants, our field engineers, they are very highly and tightly given all the necessary safety precautions. So they have been, before they go out for a task on a daily basis, they have been given a specific briefing by the supervisors and the managers to ensure that the hand sanitization, the distancing, the mask, the gloves, the full safety protection in terms of self-discipline is upheld. So we still go on ground in terms of servicing our customers, because a lot of our customers are still open for takeaway. Even so, for the delivery, they still need to do and use the point of sale system for the transaction. So we have taken all these measures to ensure that the continuity of support is there for our customers. Our call desk is also operating on a remote basis, where We've got the remote call desk infrastructure set up. So whenever a customer that has certain issues in the restaurant calls us, they are able to contact our help desk to get necessary support.
Okay. So in terms of the financial health of the company, I see from the end of January 2020, you had about just under 2 million ringgit worth of cash on the balance sheet. But short-term borrowings and other liabilities, some quantum higher than that. What is the plan, Anthony, in terms of addressing the financial health? Well, I guess for want of a better word, are you looking at staff rationalization? Are you looking at increase in borrowings? You know, how are you addressing the financial obligations?
Okay, at this point of time, maybe the cash in the bank could have been at a very low level, but we still have quite a substantial amount of collections and AR. This will sustain the month-to-month or quarter-to-quarter business proposition. And we also have a couple of projects that are close to being into realization in the next couple of quarters. So I foresee that we will be self-adequate in terms of running our business in the way that we will be running continuously in the next 2-3 quarters or in the next 1-2 years.
Okay, so to be constructive about the situation, which is obviously exogenous for everybody in the world, not just in Malaysia, what is the short-term plan, Anthony? What are you going to do for the next, say, 3 months to get over the hump?
Yeah, so in the next 3 months, we invested very highly on the technology. You know, Kaskapi has been a 40-year-old company and it started as a pioneer in the POS F&B business. But over the last 2 years, we have moved ourselves from POS provider into a technology player. So we have invested a lot of money. We spent almost about 10 million ringgit in the last 2 years in terms of moving ourselves into a technology framework. So that is coming to see the fruits of the fruits of the investment, where we now have a lot of projects in a lot of other countries in terms of the cloud kitchen. We have got this cloud kitchen is basically a satellite kitchen that will be set up. So we have one project in Thailand, which I can't disclose the name of operator. It's one of the biggest operator in Thailand. So they have come up to us and told us that because they have multiple brands in one of their unit business, they want to set up a cloud kitchen. And we have got the entire infrastructure for the cloud kitchen, where we have the whole cloud platform of the solution integrated to the delivery organizations that are available there. So the whole operation mechanism of the orders coming to the cloud kitchen, and for the kitchen to do the preparation and then the notification for the delivery to pick up and deliver the goods. This technology infrastructure is available, and we see quite a number of projects that are happening in the whole region of Southeast Asia. Malaysia will eventually see this set up in the next couple of months, because this is going to bring together a different era of business in terms of managing a pandemic situation like what we have right now. So with this, I guess the market is more than ready, because this whole cloud kitchen thing, this whole platform, this whole delivery, this whole cloud technology has been already there for the last 2 years, but the adaptation of the F&B players have been a bit slow. They've been very contented. They've been very reluctant to move into this, although they see the delivery revenue being an additional revenue for their entire business. So therefore now, with this whole situation that's happening, with this whole pandemic that's happening, a lot of focus will go into cloud kitchen. A lot of focus will go into delivery. A lot of focus will go into acquisition of customers. A lot of interest will be going into this technology. So the adaptation will be faster than what we are expecting. So as a company, we have done what it takes to be ready in terms of this adaptation. And we are also telling our F&B customers that you have been in the business, you have a lot of data, but you have not been strictly positive about understanding your data. You literally have not used your data. And when situations like this now you are dependent on third-party organizations to give you data and give you customer database. So this is something that has shaken and woken a lot of them up.
Of course, of course. I'm talking this morning to Anthony Jarrell, the Group Chief Executive of the business solutions firm Kuskapi Berhad. After this, Anthony, let's look a little bit further ahead and discuss strategy at the time of COVID-19. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
I'm talking this morning to Anthony Jarrell, the Group Chief Executive of the business solutions firm Kuskapi Berhad. Okay, so Anthony, looking at obviously the profile of your business, you serve a lot of F&B and a lot of automotive clients, clearly. But the underlying industries are now obviously going to be disrupted by COVID-19, not just in terms of attendance, but also in terms of how people view cars and even transport generally. I mean, obviously, social distancing is the new norm for now and in the foreseeable future. So when you sit down with your people and your shareholders, how does the strategy look like and what is your read of the industries that you serve going forward?
Yeah, this was something that has hit the market quite tremendously. And as an organization, we have started, we didn't expect this to come to this situation, but from a technology perspective, we have evolved our business in the last 2 years. So in the last 2 years, we have innovatively started new technology with F&B operations. We put a lot of emphasis on cloud solutions. We have put a lot of emphasis on business intelligence tools. We have put a lot of emphasis on AI. We have put a lot of emphasis on loyalty. And primarily, we have also put a lot of emphasis in terms of the customers' technology innovative in the restaurant. Simply, for example, like as a customer now, in the old traditional way, I have to walk to a restaurant to do a takeaway. I have to walk to a restaurant to dine in. I have to have service operation people taking care of me in terms of the restaurant operations and flow. But now the technology is so evolved that you can walk into a restaurant if the pandemic situation is better and if the MRO has been lifted, but there will be certainly a lot of restrictions in terms of restaurant operations where dining in a restaurant could be a distance sitting. So in terms of having 70, 80 seaters in a restaurant, you will probably have about 20 seats and each of it would be probably like two seatings per table, and it could be a distance between each other. So customers now will be more than willing to embrace into the technology so they can walk into the restaurant, they can sit in the restaurant, enjoy the ambience, they can use their mobile to scan a QR code on the table, they can make the orders, they can pay through a wallet, and then the food is served, they eat the meal, they finish the discussion and they walk away. So these are the technologies which are already available. At the same time, anywhere you are, the restaurant offers you a delivery platform. You can go into a delivery tool. You can make an order from the delivery. It goes to the restaurant. The restaurant prepares the meal. They engage a third-party delivery organization, and this organization delivers the food to you. At the same time, they can also put a digital kiosk, or they can put a QR code outside the restaurant or the quick service organization. A customer can just go and scan the QR code. They can place the order and they can just wait at outside the restaurant or wait in the car. The minute the food is ready, you get a notification from your mobile phone and then you just go and pick up the food and you walk away. So these are all the technologies that have already been embedded and is available. So primarily now, I guess, for all the restaurants and for us, a technology vendor, and for me, in terms of looking at the whole business, first option is to make sure that we act now to protect in terms of the business. Number two is we are planning how to do a recovery. That means the technology that we have available will be given across to all our F&B customers. A little bit of understanding will be provided to them. A bit more technology upbeat is given to them. And hopefully, with this availability of all these technologies, we can bring them on board and guide them to start looking at the business in terms of how the business can adapt to the current market situation.
So in essence, you're serving an industry which has a future that is largely unknown in terms of how it deals with this pandemic, right? Is there a proposition, correct, Anthony, to diversify away from F&B generally, and even automotive, which you haven't really discussed yet?
So in terms of the automotive, we have got a platform in terms of our service offering to the customers. So this platform is already integrated with an AI tool, and we will be offering this to our automotive customer in the next phase, in the next month or two, where every customer who owns a car, for example, if you have got a Toyota, if you have got a BMW, and right now you don't have to call the customer service to make a booking, you can straight away use your mobile app to make your reservations in terms of bringing your car into the service. Then when you drive your car to the service center, you just drop the car, and then immediately that somebody takes over the car and they bring it in. They know exactly what the service is supposed to be, and when the car is ready, you just go over and the car is parked at the bay. You just go and pick up the key from the counter or from the locker point that they have available, and then they pick it up and then they go and drive the car and they walk away. So we've also got all this self-service technologies that we have already enabled right now. And I guess customers are more than willing to adapt this right now with this current situation.
I'm talking this morning to Anthony Gerald, the chief executive of the business solutions firm Kuskapi Berhad. Now, Anthony, you've also got other businesses in other segments around the world, including in China and other Southeast Asian countries. Anthony, starting with China, what is the situation like there in terms of how the business is being affected?
Okay, when I joined the company, my main mission was to reassess the business in China. In the past, the strategy was to have a huge business in China, so a huge amount of investment was put into China. Subsequently, when I took over, there was a huge gap in terms of the technology that we had in China and moving forward. So from a business decision, there was already a huge timeline gap that I had in terms of catching up the technology in China. You know, China technology moves very fast. So we had a traditional technology in China to serve quite a number of customers, and we were unable to acquire relevant or sufficient customers in order to break the business in China. So from a business decision perspective, we decided that we will scale down the business in China. So we have already scaled the business down in China, and subsequently we are not going to focus too much in China because the whole business dynamic is outside of China for us in terms of Southeast Asia. So I have decided that adding new geography in Southeast Asia like Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, and investing a lot more in Indonesia, primarily focusing a lot into UAE, where we have a strategic partner in UAE, Egypt, and these are the places where we have already extended our footprint right now. So that will give us a bigger business growth in terms of sustainability in the next couple of years to come. At the same time, the technology adaptation of all these countries are moving fast. So lesson learned from where we were in China has also given us a strong preposition in terms of putting a lot more technology advancement in these areas of business that we want to do. So that's how we are as a company now. So the focus has shifted more towards Southeast Asia and new emerging markets. And primarily, China will be a business that we will not continue focusing because of the technology lag that we had.
Okay. So can you guide the market in terms of how the financials will look like this year? I think you've already, you booked about 26 million in revenue for 2019. Obviously, 2020 will be a different picture. And obviously, the after-tax position as well. What is your guidance so far as you can guide the investors and market on the full year's profile, Anthony?
So as a company, we have done whatever it takes in terms of managing the cost. So I have built a very strong resource base in all the countries. We have the right people. We have a strong team of resources. We have the right size of resources in terms of building the business. So in terms of cost, we have brought a tremendous factor of cost down. We are more clear of what we need to do as an organization to continue building the business and to stay in the business with regards to how it was in the past or how it's going to be in the future in terms of this pandemic impact. So the direction, the vision, and the objective is very clear. We are working towards, we see a huge business potential in the next coming 1 to 2 years in terms of how we are doing our business, in terms of how we are screwing our business. So we will remain strategic. We will remain dynamic in the way we do our business. That's number one. Number two, in terms of impact, I foresee there will be a substantial impact in terms of our business for this year. There will be definitely a business shrink in terms of the revenue, which I'm looking at probably an impact of about 20%, 25%, because we had an excellent quarter one, quarter two business growth, meaning that we had a lot of our hard work in the last three quarters coming to be into a realization of this year. But a lot of our customers who have embarked into this have shifted the budget somewhere or other, working with us to do new things. Like, for example, the thing I mentioned to you about the cloud kitchen technology and platform provider, they are now telling us that they need us to give them a little bit more features in terms of loyalty, because they realize that they need, at this point of time, a lot of restaurants do not know who their customers are. So they are unable to build that customer relationship loyalty. They are unable to get them to come back in terms of spending. So be it on a delivery or be it on a takeaway in this moment. So we are building businesses for loyalty. We are also moving customers to bring the whole cost down into our platform, to the cloud. Okay. Because in the past, they've been spending a lot of money, IT costs in terms of infrastructure. So we are also saving in terms of that. So we are doing multiple new businesses. Right. And that will set the platform for us.
Okay. Well, I do wish you the best of luck and that you make it through these challenging times, Anthony. Your situation is no different from a lot of other companies. So good luck with the plan and good luck with the strategy. Thank you for talking to us. I was talking to Anthony Gerald, the Group Chief Executive of the business solutions firm Kuskapi Berhad, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, encouraging you to stay home during this period of movement control.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.